Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Let me say thank you to Pastor Femi. It has been, like you said, we've been friends for quite a while. I celebrate you, sir. Praise the Lord. And thank God for what he's doing through this ministry and how he's raising men, how he's bringing his word to his people to build them for his coming. Praise God. I trust that the few things I will share with us will add to what we've already, what we are hearing or what will be said. And trusting that the Spirit of God will bring light into the things that you will be hearing. Praise the Lord. Like my pastor will say, every man heard them in their own language. May you hear God in your own language as it relates to you in Jesus' name. Praise God. I've been asked to talk about living for the kingdom. Praise God. Living for the kingdom. Let me begin with an experience or a story, real life story of someone I know, though he's late, a blessed memory. We are growing up as young boys, girls, and teenagers. We got filled with the Holy Ghost, exposed to the truth of God's word, and we're growing, we're under a particular denomination that certain things in scripture they did not believe. However, they gave us platform to express the gift and the grace of God upon our lives. Praise God. But it happened after a while, this particular brother began to, God's hand was upon him. There was no doubt. Began to grow in grace, minister, things were happening. At the point, he just felt, why stay under this umbrella? And then broke away over issues that could have been resolved. And then the fellowship broke into two. Some went with him, and I had God clearly, don't go. He had some measure of influence over me, but the Holy Spirit said, don't go. Stay back and build the work. And then I called some few people who were also of like mind, and we stayed back. And then my focus this morning was that one of those days, we were in secondary school, I was still in my SS3. He just finished and needed to rewrite. And then he came over to my school to write SSC. And one of those days, we got talking. I said, why will you move? Said they don't understand spiritual things. They cannot keep limiting us in this place. I said, but they've given you a platform. Express yourself. He says, hey, leave that thing. Don't worry. Very soon, I'll soon start riding my car. I'll build a house. I'll be a bishop. It was then I knew the focus. The reason why he was so eager to stay out of authority and be on his own. Praise the Lord. The scripture made it clear that the kingdom of God should be our passion, our drive, our focus, living for him. Not for the things that are tangible we could see, which the scripture says they are temporal. They don't last. Let me begin by reading the scripture. I think Luke chapter 6 from verse 47. The book of Luke chapter 6. From verse 47, whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, scripture says, I will show you whom he is what? Whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was what? Founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was what? Was great. Praise the Lord. Now, when he concluded all this saying, in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Praise God. Now, if we are going to focus, I mean, we are looking at living for the kingdom, we need to deal with what is our focus or what is our foundation. Praise the Lord. Why I'm reading this scripture is to let us know that there will be a shaking. If there is a shaking and there will be shakings, and the shakings are on, praise the Lord. Christ warned us that mind how you build, because there will be a shaking. Praise the Lord. He said the reason for the stream, or the reason for the storm, the reason for the wind is to do what? To shake what you are building. And when the shaking comes, the essence is to reveal your foundation, whether it is solid or weak. That's why the storm, that's why the wind. And Christ promised us, or did not promise us, a Christian life that is void of storms. He never promised us that. But he promised us victory over storms. Praise the Lord. So the scripture here talks about a shaking. I think that should be verse 48 or so. 48. Okay, he said, he is like a man building a house who dug deep. This man did what? Dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently. That means it was vehement. It was tough. It was rough. The intention is to know how solid your foundation is. Against that house. And could not do what? Shake it. The essence is to shake it. Satan will attempt to shake you to know what you carry. And if Satan does not do that, even God promised in his word that he's going to shake the earth. Haggai 2:6 said, I will shake the heavens and I will shake the earth. Praise the Lord. God said he will shake. There is a shaking. In Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 25. Hebrews 12, 25. It says, see that you do not refuse him who what? Who speaks. For if they did not escape, who refused him who speak on earth? Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from what? From him who speaks from heaven. Verse 26. Whose voice then do what? Shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will what? I will shake. Once more I shake not only the earth, but also what? God is bringing a shaking, and the shaking is already on. Praise the Lord. Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but what? Also the what? The heavens. Verse 27. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of what? Of those things that are what? That are being shaken, as of things that are made. That the things which cannot be what? Shaken may do what? May remain. Verse 28. Therefore, since we are what? Receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us what? Have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with what? With reverence and godly fear. Praise the Lord. Shakings are on. Nations are being shaken. Institutions are being shaken. Even our family values are being shaken. Praise the Lord. A lot of things are happening. Even part of the prophecy of the end time, Christ said he will shake the heavens and the earth. Praise the Lord. I think in Matthew chapter 24, verse 29, shakings are taking place. Our individual lives will be shaken by the things that are happening around. But we must realize that in it all, what will keep you going is what you stand for.
your values, your focus, your lifestyle. Hallelujah. Why will there be a shaking? Judging from the scripture we've read, if we are going to live for the kingdom, then we must not live for the things that are shakable. We must not live for the things that can be removed. We must not live for the things that will not last. Praise the Lord. We must live for the things that will endure. That's what the scripture encourages us to do. Why the shaking? It is to reveal the kingdom that is unshakable. It is to reveal what? God's kingdom. That is what? Unshakable. Daniel had an encounter about this dispensation long before we ever emerged under the rule of King Nebuchadnezzar. The kingdom of, he saw an image, the king dreamt and saw an image. And currently we are in that dispensation where the ceramic clay and the iron are mixed together and will not hold. And the Bible says, a stone caught with that hand struck all that man, all the civilization of man, all that man will ever build, came crumbling down in an instant. That's a shaking. That everything you are seeing today, that man brags about, the lust of the eyes, the pleasures of this world, the things we think are the accomplishment of men, they will crumble. Praise the Lord. Because the things which we see are what? The Bible said they are temporal. I think in the book of Peter, it said they will melt with fervent heat. They will fade away. Let's also read, I think Hebrews chapter 1 verse 10. Hebrews 1:10. I think this scripture was drawn from Psalm 102 verse 25. But Hebrews 1:10 says, and you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of what? Of the earth. And the heavens are what? Are the works of your hand. They shall what? Or they will what? They will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow what? Old like a garment. Hallelujah. They will all grow old like a garment. They will not last. So we need to talk to ourselves on what are we building? Are we digging deep to get to the rock, to build on Christ? Christ said, those who hear my saying and do what? And do them. Hearing and doing his word is what will determine whether you survive the shaking. Because even the church, the religious institution are being shaken today. Some of the things we once believed are being challenged. So that tells you, we must go back to the scripture and begin to build on the things that matters to God and matters to the kingdom of God. Praise God. So we see in scripture that shakings will come. And the essence of the shaking, number one, I said, is to reveal the kingdom that is unshakable. To reveal God's glory. Number two, it is to reveal the corruption, the decay in the system of the world. The corruption, there is corruption everywhere. There is decay everywhere. The shaking will reveal that. Number three, to reveal the quality of our foundation. What is the quality of your foundation? What are you building on? On Christ? On material things? Building on yourself, you know, the things that build or add value, the things that boost your ego. Once the vision that, is it the vision, the hand that wrote on the wall when King Belshazzar went to carry the vessels of the temple that was in his custody to drink wine, when the hand showed up, one striking thing that you know, the interpretation Daniel gave, he said, you have been weighed. And the scale did not read. People of God, imagine an empire of gold An empire of God with wealth, with influence, with army that could not be stopped. As at that time, God says, all this glory you are carrying, that you are bragging about, I put it in my scale, and he did not read. Emptiness. The scale did not read. So you see, if we build on these things that we see, we are going nowhere. Hallelujah. The reason for the shaking is to reveal the fading nature of all things. How do you know something is fading? You know, sometimes when a tree is dead, the leaf may still be hanging there. But when you shake it, you know the ones that are already disconnected, the ones that are already dead, they will fall away. The ones that are still connected to the vine will do what? Will remain. The shaking will reveal the things that are dead. The things that we are building on that does not connect to the values of the kingdom, that has no life, because the flesh profits nothing. Hallelujah. The shaking also is to reveal the fallen standard and the fallen standard and values of mankind. It's to reveal all that. And the things that cannot be shaken will remain. All that man is building, all the things we are building that God didn't ask us to build, because he will never pay for what he didn't send you to buy. No matter how you try to explain it, God will never pay for what he didn't ask you to buy. He will never sponsor what he did not instruct you to do. Never. If the things that will not last are being shaken off, are you going to go with it? The things that are fading that will not last, these elements that we are seeing, that we have, you know, we are building and decorating, and they are the things that we brag about and talk about. They are the things that define success and impact in ministry. How far will it go with God? The earth is going to fade away. But the reason why it has not is because of you and I. See, there is nothing in this planet that will not fade. It will not last. It's like a branch that is already cut off. A shaking will reveal that it's dead. Check everything. You make a new dress today. Give it some few months or years, what happened? It will fade. It's corrupt. It will fade. It will not last. You cook food now, what happens? It will decay. So the best you can do to something that is already corrupt or decaying is to manage. Is to manage it. You manage something that is fading. You manage something that is decaying. You manage it. And how do you manage it? You add preservatives. But ultimately, what will happen? It will still decay. We put things in the fridge for what? For what purpose? To preserve it from, to reduce or to slow down the decay process. But it will, at the end of the day, what happened? It will still decay. So, God put us here as salt. What is the essence? To preserve. Slow down the decay. To bring more people in with the gospel of the kingdom. Bring them in. Slow down the decay process, because at the end, it will still do what? It will still fade. So one of the reasons why you are still here, you are not born again and then immediately you went to heaven, is so that you become a what? A preservative agent. A voice for God and for his kingdom.
Praise God. So we see the corruption that is going on, the fading that is taking place, and the best that can happen is that God puts us here as believers to do what? To preserve it. But the ultimate solution to the corruption, to the decay, is renewal. It's to change it completely. It's to make it new. And that's what God wants to do at the end of the day. Praise the Lord. Make it new. Because the earth is corrupt. Carnality. Perversion. Pollution everywhere. And we see from scripture, even Paul was writing, he said, the Spirit of the Lord speaketh, I think 2 Timothy 3 said, in the last days, perilous time shall come, men shall be lovers of self. And began to mention quite a lot of things that are happening. Therefore, men will be what? Lovers of what? Themselves. Lovers of money. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Unthankful, unholy. Is that not common now? Unloving, unforgiving, slanderous. I hope we know that the word devil means slander. Huh? Sir? Slanderer. Accuser. So if you are in church and you are slandering your brother and your sister, what are you doing? You are just doing the work of Satan. A preacher once said that there are two people, two individuals that does not fail to be in church. Slanderer and criticism. Gossip. They are always there. Is an error or is foolishness for you to be offended with another person you have never experienced just because a sister or a brother said certain things about that person to you. Not that you have experienced that person and then you're offended. You're offended and you want to fight on behalf. What is the rule of scripture in dealing with crisis? He said, number one, go and tell the person. The person may not be, go and meet the person. I'm offended because you did this. That is the first rule. But what we do many a time is to do what? We tell, you call your friend and tell the person. You report the issue to the individual. And that one tell another person. Then a clique of friends is formed. And then the church is being divided. And if that person is doing something, the others will put their face angle 90 and be winking their nose. Over what you are not even aware about. It is foolishness. David, in anger, said to what's his name now? Solomon's servant. Is it Ziba? He said, where is your master's servant? Mephibosheth. He said, He said, God don't catch you today. That the kingdom of my grandfather will be given to me. And David said, Everything that belongs to by the time he came back, he was restored. He saw Mephibosheth. Morning, he has not taken his bath. We don't know how long David stayed on exile. He said, why didn't you go with me? He said, I wanted to. But my master servant said, I shouldn't worry. He will represent me well. He said, Ziba slandered me. Without self-control, brutal, despisers of what? Of good. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. These are the things that we see today corrupting the system. Corrupting even our values as believers. Paul said those things. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power. thereof.
So we must pay attention to the things that steal our focus from living the life of the kingdom or living for the kingdom of God. Because the truth be told, there are two kingdoms. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And these two seek to influence the kingdom of men. And Jesus said in Matthew 12, talking about these two kingdoms, he said, I cast that demon by the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, the kingdom of God is revealed by the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. And the truth of the matter is that Satan wants to remain veiled. He doesn't want you to know he's behind the evil and the things we go through. We think he's that individual. But at the end of the day, we realize when we walk in the Spirit, when we walk under the power and control of the Holy Spirit, we reveal or we expose the kingdom of darkness. Praise the Lord. So let's make some progress this morning. We see, number one, I try to establish that there is a shaking, or shaking is on, and the essence of the shaking is to reveal the quality of your foundation, what you are building on, what you are living for, what is the value of, you know, what are the values that defines our life, our commitment in the kingdom of God. And also, let's make some progress to look at some few things that matters to God. Because if we don't define our values, people can define the values for you. The environment will define the values for you. Now let's go to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, from verse 11. 1 Peter 3, from verse 11. Let him turn away from evil and do good. 2 Peter, I beg your pardon. 2 Peter 3:11. Therefore, since all these things will what? Will be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to what? To be in conduct and what? Godliness. Looking for and hastening the what? The coming of the Lord, the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be what? Dissolved, being on fire, and the element what? Will melt with what? Fervent heat. The scripture is telling us there is a way to be, or there is a way to live under this shaking situation. If you are going to remain, there is a way to live. There is a way to be, or there's a way to conduct yourself. There's a way to walk if you are going to last. Hallelujah. He said, knowing that these things will happen, there is a way to conduct yourself. So if we are going to live for the kingdom, first of all, let's address who we are. Praise the Lord. Being precedes doing. Who are you on the inside? So when the scripture says, when you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is what? Is small. Who are you on the inside? Building the capacity inside. Laying the right foundation inside. Laying the right motive inside. Do you know what the scripture says? When God brought the people of Egypt, the children of Israel out of Egypt, in I think Deuteronomy 6 or Deuteronomy 8, he said, I made you to go through the wilderness where there are serpents and scorpions. I made you suffer hunger to reveal what is in you. To reveal, so hunger is a revealer. Hello? Hunger is a what? Storms is a revealer. The shaking will reveal. God brought them out and sieved them, shook them, took them through hunger. And they began to cry on Moses, you want to kill us? There are better graves. How can you desire where you are coming from? You were fasting and crying and praying for deliverance, and God brought you out. Then in the midst of little temporary pressure, you are now thinking of where you are coming from is better than where you are going. How can the world be better than the kingdom of God? said, I did that deliberately. He said, I made you suffer thirst and hunger so that I can know what is in your heart. So those prayers you pray in the midst of storms and God did not answer, it was deliberate. You are meant to go through it. So you go through fire, you go through the storm. Praise the Lord. It will not burn you, but I want to know what is in your heart. You are shouting, oh God, why me? Why not you? How do we know you are more than a conqueror? How do you exercise your faith? How do we know you are a child of the kingdom? How do we know the values you carry? If these things does not come to test. See, Daniel already proposed he will not defile himself. It was not when the meal was before him. And I said, Joseph already had a character formed, value system that was formed. He was in Egypt. No pastor, no church, no father. And yet he did not corrupt himself. Some of us, even in the same office, we have church members. Fellow believers. Joseph, in Pharaoh's house, in Potiphar's house, he said, how can I do this and sin? He wasn't even thinking about Potiphar. He said, and sin against you. He was too conscious of God. Brothers were not there. Father was not there. Fellow church member was not there. There was no pastor. There was no church. But they knew he was a Hebrew. And a Hebrew had a different God. And he stood for the values of the kingdom. He lived for the purpose of the kingdom. Even in prison. And some of us, even as students, we're in the same school, in the same fellowship. And we still do some things. Even when your fellow brother is looking at you, say, see, I never grow rich that your kind of faith. Just leave that thing. Leave that thing first. Leave that thing. God understands we are still growing. I once had a preacher said, I'm trying to remember who. He said, see, there are certain prayers, there are certain situations prayer does not that does not respond to prayer. He said, fornication is one of them. You do Scooby-Doo. If you know what Scooby-Doo is. Praise the Lord. Like you were saying, yes. See, they are said, prayer does not, fornication does not answer to prayer. But not say pray. He said flee. You do Scooby-Doo. Flee. And hear me, people of God, it will be difficult to flee if there is nothing to pursue. He said, flee, then pursue. It is your pursuit that determines how effective your fleeing will be. Because if you are fleeing without pursuing anything, they will soon catch up with you. That's, I think, 1 Timothy 1:22. Praise the Lord. He said, flee. Can we have it? Flee. And then he didn't just say flee. He told us what to pursue so that your fleeing will be effective. Can we have it? 1 Timothy 2:22. Hallelujah. Should be 2 Timothy 2:22. I read it says, flee also. Okay, it said, flee what? Also, youthful lust. But do what? Pursue righteousness. Hear me. If it is not righteous, it is sin. If it is not what? It feels good. It feels good does not mean it is right. What feels good can kill you. It may be lawful. The system may legislate and, and make it right, but it may not be profitable. As long as it is not righteous, it is what? It is sin. How do we know it's not righteous? Why are you hiding to do it? Can you talk about it publicly with all confidence? Whatever is not righteous is sin. He said, pursue what? Righteousness, faith, love, peace. With what? With those who call on the Lord out of a what? So there are things to pursue so that your fleeing can be effective. If you flee and you are not pursuing, they will soon catch up with you. When you pursue, what you are fleeing from will not catch up with you. So the scripture instructs us to pursue. Live after these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what? And its righteousness. And all these things that are benefits that we are trying to make focus will become additions. Praise the Lord. So, he said we need to conduct ourselves. Hallelujah. Conduct ourselves. Three things we are mentioned in that scripture. 1 Peter 3, 2 Peter 3, 11 to 12. God is a holy conduct and what? And godliness. Looking forward to the day of Christ and hastening the day of his coming. Let me quickly look at some few things. Every promise of God has times and conditions. Godliness is two ways. Praise the Lord. Godliness is what? It's two ways. There are things God does for us to be holy. There are things we must do for ourselves to be holy. What Christ has done on the cross is to redeem us from the power of darkness, from the hold or the grip of sin. He has done that. He said, be you holy as I am holy. However, there is a part you must play. Second Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. It said, therefore, flee. Give me Second Corinthians. It said, pursue holiness. Pursue holiness. It said, therefore, having this promise, the previous verse, previous chapter, beloved, let us what? Cleanse who? Cleanse what? Ourselves. Who is doing the cleansing? You. From what? From all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting what? Holiness in the fear of God. God has done his own part. You do your part. Who will do the fleeing? Praise God. So when we delegate our part to God, that God should do everything, you are deceiving yourself. My pastor will say, we have been set apart for something. You have a responsibility to set yourself apart for what you have been set apart for. For it to be effective. What is your responsibility? Don't expose yourself to things that defiles you. Hey, it doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect me. You'll be shocked. Praise the Lord. You'll be shocked how far you've deviated. It's just one little omission, just one little shift, and you no longer be in alignment. Praise the Lord. What you watch, what you view, can weaken your effectiveness of living for the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. What you put into your heart will influence how you live. So it's our responsibility to clean up. What you put in your life will influence how you live. Hallelujah. To influence how we live. Number two, he said, looking forward to the day of Christ. Now, the truth of the matter is that the inspiration or what will inspire you to live godly is knowing that Christ is coming. Hallelujah. Because the scripture says, he that has this hope, what does he do? Purified himself. You have this hope that is coming.
You purify yourself. You keep yourself pure. Number three, we hasten the coming of the day of the Lord. How? Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Because the Bible said this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. We hasten the coming of the Lord by getting ourselves ready for his coming. Number three, we hasten the coming of the Lord by aligning ourselves to the purpose of God. What is the agenda of the kingdom for the now? What is the agenda of the kingdom for the now? Aligning ourselves with the will of God. What does God want me to do in this season? And that is what will define how you live for him. Praise the Lord. We must also learn to endure, because it is the one who endured the pressure that will ultimately live or will be saved. So what does the scripture encourage us to do? Three things we said. We need to conduct ourselves. We need to live a life that is right. We need to check our walk with God. Godly living. That defines the quality of your Christian life. Praise the Lord. Then, the scripture told us, we look forward to his coming. Having that hope that he's coming back would define how you live your life. Praise the Lord. I once remember when we were young, we were told not to go to, you know, you are instructed, there are certain places you should not go, there are certain things you should not do, but when your parents are out of the house, you somehow, how many of you realize that when this thing can be here, children may not go near this thing. They may not touch it. They may not play around it. But the moment you say, oh, I'm going out, don't touch this thing. That's the day they will start to touch it. That's them. This thing that is here, you shouldn't touch. What? Praise the Lord. So looking forward that he is coming. So when we realize, we'll check the time. Daddy will soon be back. Mommy will soon be back. What do you think we'll do next? We align. We quickly clean up. We go and bathe and look neat. We once have a family that the man was so strict. The children will only play when he's not around. He had a bike, and that bike had a distinct sound. His children know the sound of their bike from every other bike. They can pick it from a distance, and everybody will quickly disappear from the playground. All of them, and run inside, clean up, and just sit down. And when he gets home, they'll all line up and prostrate and greet him like they've never gone anywhere. They've been on that spot. The lesson is that if we know he's coming, we also should do what? Conduct ourselves. Begin to eliminate those things that will not bring him pleasure when he shows up. Begin to clean ourselves, conduct ourselves, so that we can be found acceptable with him. And then begin to do the things that will even hasten his coming. Align ourselves with the promises of God, or with the purposes of God. Keep preaching the gospel of the kingdom, so that everyone will get to hear the gospel of the kingdom. Walk in our calling as given to us. Praise the Lord. And then, how should we live now? Number one, we live for what will endure. Let us live for what will endure, not what will expire. Live for what will endure. Live for what will last. The multitude came around Jesus. They are looking for you in the book of John chapter 6 after the encounter when he blessed the fish. And, you know, they ate fish, they ate bread. And then Jesus said to them, he said, you are looking for me not because
He said, you ate bread and fish. And you want more. It's a labor. Labor for that thing that does not perish. Labor. Let's live for the things that will endure. These material things will not last. Number two, live for what will profit your spirit, not your flesh. We are going to live for the kingdom in this season. We must live for what? Live for what will profit your spirit, not your flesh. I think it's Paul Yonggi Cho of Blessed Memory that said, many believers spend a lot of time taking care of their physical body and spend less time taking care of their spirit. Number three, live for Christ, who died. 2 Corinthians chapter 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. 2 Corinthians 5, 15. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:15. And he died for all, that those who do what? Who live should do what? No longer live for themselves, but for what? For him who died for them and rose again. There is a shift. We are called to live for him, not for ourselves. Hallelujah. Number four, we must live for the things that are eternal, not the things that are natural. Hallelujah. Live for the things that are eternal, not the things that are natural. Because the things that are natural are temporal. They will not last. They will not endure. So living for God's kingdom is living for his purpose. Living for his glory. I read a scripture recently. I think that should be in 1 Peter 4, I think 14. The scripture says, whatsoever we do, okay, so if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For what? For the spirit of glory and of God does what? Rest upon you. On their part, he's blasphemed, but on your part, he's what? He's glorified. That means the reason for the reproach, the reason for the shaking, or the reason for the storm is because you are carrying something. The spirit of glory, the spirit of God, rest, what? Upon you. So what should inspire what we do in the kingdom? The Bible says, whether in, I think 1 Corinthians 10, 31, it said, whatsoever we do, whether we eat or we drink, what should we do? We should do all to the glory of God. So the question we should ask ourselves, am I living for God's glory or am I living for myself? Am I living for eternal value or am I living for earthly values? Am I living for the things that are shakable or am I living for the things that are unshakable? Am I living for myself or am I living for Christ? Because at the end of the day, the shaking that will come will reveal your motive, will reveal what is in your heart, will reveal whether you are building on the right foundation or you are building on the wrong foundation. And the scripture says, if the foundation is faulty, what would do what? I think what we could do is to pull what we are building down and start all over again. Hallelujah. Because the shaking that is coming will not spare the church. The Bible says judgment will begin from where? Will begin from us. God will check us. God will check our motive. God will check what we are building on.
Why are you doing the thing you are doing? Hallelujah. The children of Israel woke up one day and said, Samuel, your children are not walking in line with the will of God. They are not walking like you. Give us a king. Give us a king. And what was the motive? He said, so that we can be like other nations. I read a story of a preacher whose daughter died at a very young age. What was it? The little girl said, Dad, I want a ball bearing skate. This boot they wear that has rollers on it. And Dad said, why? Is that because all the children in the neighborhood have ball bearing skate? Mine is forgotten what was our own. I said, but you don't need it. He said, I don't even have the money to afford it. He said, Dad, you must get me one because everybody in the neighborhood, that's what they have. And then the dad came home one day at the entrance of the house. The young girl put a note there. Dad, get me a ball bearing skate. On the dining, a note was there again. Dad, get me a ball bearing skate. He entered his bedroom. A note was waiting for him. Dad, get me a ball bearing skate. He entered the bathroom. It was on the mirror. Dad, get everywhere he turned. She made sure she pestered him to get what he wanted. Out of frustration, he finally did. And the very first day he gave it to her, she was so excited. Daddy, I love you. Thank you. You are the best dad I've ever, you are a best dad. And took the ball bearing skate, kissed him and put them on and went out. It was too fast for her. She could not control. As she rolled out of the house, a car knocked her down and she died. A ball bearing skate like every other kids in town. And the pastor said, sometimes when he's praying over an issue, I need this. The Holy Spirit reminded him, do you want a ball bearing skate? So you understand the message. You understood the message. Hallelujah. What matters to God is his kingdom. What matters to God is his glory. Filling the whole earth. And God is counting on you and I to be that agent of preservation. Through whom, or through us, he will extend his influence and redeem those who are lost as his representative. Whether I like it or not, this earth is fading. And what the measure of management now is just preservation. And you are the preservative agent to call more people in. Let's live for what matters to God, not what matters to us. Let's live for what matters to the kingdom of God. Not what satisfies or appeal to our flesh. Praise the Lord. What you want to brag about, you want to talk about, that's what a lot of people preach about. But the truth of the matter is, at the end of the day, who gets the glory? Is it God? And if God is not the one being glorified, then someone else is taking the glory. If you are not preaching the gospel of the kingdom, you may be preaching another gospel. Because there are two kingdoms. And they all have a message. God bless you.